Well, the New South Wales government has unveiled its final 20-year transport master plan for the state, and it includes going back to the future, proposing a tram through Sydney's CBD. It also calls on the federal government to lift the cap on aircraft movements per hour at Sydney Airport and to consider increasing the number of flights during the curfew shoulder period. It's between 5 and 6 a.m. The O'Farrell government doesn't support the building of a second airport in the Sydney Basin. That's in sharp contrast to the federal government and much of the aviation industry. It says the solution to increase congestion at the airport is to allow extra flights. And that's a view shared by the chief executive of Sydney Airport, Kerry Mather. She says if the flight cap was lifted, Sydney would not need a second airport for at least another 30 years. In a rare interview, Kerry Mather is speaking with our business editor, Cheryl Bagwell.
We've got capacity here till 2045 within all the existing operating restrictions. So we can cope, actually, until 2045.
Sections of the aviation industry, including the major airlines, at least according to reports in the Financial Review this week, believe a second airport, though, is needed sooner rather than later, preferably within the next 10 years or by 2022. So you don't agree with that?
There was a joint federal and state government study in which they did extensive industry consultation to look at this issue, and everybody has a different view on a date for Sydney Airport's capacity, if you like. And you know, we understand our business very well, of course, so we probably have the more detailed view on this issue. But the joint study, for example, actually had a capacity date of 2032.
Why, in your view, do you think Sydney Airport can cope for another 30 years? You can't build any more runways, you can't expand any further, yet anyone who's been on a plane during peak period and has had to sort of circle Sydney Airport endlessly waiting to land, I mean, they would think that the airport is already close to capacity.
The difference between the 2032 in the joint study and our 2045 is they assume that there won't be any increase in aircraft size and that they will fly more frequently. But that's not what's happening now. What's happening now is that the aircraft are getting larger, serving domestic routes. Virgin have actually moved to wide-bodied aircraft from 737s, so they're now using A330s. In fact, we're just about to open next week a significant expansion of Terminal 2 to cope with those wider-bodied aircraft. Sydney-Melbourne is the fourth busiest air corridor in the world. It's actually served in peak periods every 15 minutes. So for the joint study to suggest that that will be served any more frequently, it's just not going to happen. Actually, what will happen is that airlines will respond as they are doing now and actually serving it with larger aircraft. And, you know, that's been the big story at Sydney Airport. There's been significant technological change in the industry, which is transforming the way that our capacity is used. And this is borne out when you look at our passenger growth in the last 10 years. We've had 40% growth in passengers, but not one more aircraft.
You're saying that increase the size of aircraft is one way to solve the problem, but you are calling for a lift in the cap on aircraft movements per hour from 80 to 85, and you have the New South Wales government's backing in that. They've just released a new proposal saying that the federal government should get on board with that. What difference will that make? Why is that important if you're not actually near capacity, which is what you're suggesting?
Because the infrastructure isn't near capacity, but policy settings have actually got to be consistent with that. So we have all the infrastructure, but we can't use it because those outdated policy settings applying to Sydney haven't kept pace with the technological advancements that are actually now starting to affect national productivity. You know, more efficient utilisation of what is the state's, the nation's biggest infrastructure asset is entirely logical. And particularly when you take into account these new generation quieter aircraft, our noise footprint has actually shrunk. So I think the government's proposal in this respect is that it's a responsible attitude to efficiently using the existing infrastructure more efficiently and very much consistent with the joint study.
But the federal government has responsibility for Sydney Airport. They are opposed to a lifting of the cap or a lifting of the curfew, and that seems to be a bipartisan position at the federal level. As I said, this isn't going to happen, though, anytime soon, is it?
Well, this was one of the recommendations in the joint study, to actually optimise the use of Sydney Airport by ensuring that it can grow to its maximum practical operational capacity. It would be like saying you'd only allow 80 cars an hour on the Harbour Bridge rather than the amount of throughput it can actually handle. If you think about that, if you only allowed 80 movements an hour on the Harbour Bridge, what does that do to the rest of the Sydney road network? It's the same sort of restraint.
But there are noise issues around lifting the cap on aircraft movements per hour, as there is on increasing traffic on roads. I mean, the Sydney airport is 8 kilometres from the CBD. It's in a, the flight paths are over built-up areas. I mean, at the end of the day, isn't a second airport really the only solution?
Well, it depends where you actually locate a Sydney airport. You'll have exactly the same issues to deal with. But actually, in terms of our noise footprint, it's declined because aircraft have actually, new generation aircraft are significantly quieter. In just 5 years, for example, we've gone from none to more than 90 A380 services a week. So, and we've been investing to actually ensure that we can have more of those A380s replacing older aircraft, and the new generation aircraft are significantly quieter. We've got capacity, as I said, within the operating restrictions until 2045, but it would obviously provide much more flexibility around the operations if some of those restrictions were looked at more flexibly.
So is Sydney Airport Corporation opposed to the building of a second airport? People would presume you would be, because it would undermine, obviously, your monopoly position in the market.
No, in fact, we're supportive of identifying and preserving a site.
Do you have a preference for a second site?
That's a matter for federal government. The location of a site, because there's quite a lot of activity that's incidental to that, is very much a matter for federal government. But we are supportive of them identifying a site and preserving all the planning corridors for the long term.
Is it correct that under your agreement with the government, you do have right of refusal to manage the second airport?
Yes, when the airport was sold by the government, they also sold the right to operate the secondary airport. And the significance of that is because the development of a second airport has to be developed in line with demand. So to actually manage that process, it needs to be developed as a system.
Just finally, the capacity constraints that exist already at Sydney Airport, are they having a negative impact on inbound tourism?
At this stage, we're not turning aircraft away, but you know, there's still a huge opportunity, in particular associated with the Asian market. More liberalisation on those policy settings would also free up more or attract more inbound tourism, which we've got plenty of capacity to accommodate here at Sydney Airport.
Kerry Mather, Sydney Airport's chief executive, speaking with our business editor, Cheryl Bagwell. And shares in Sydney Airport, whose major shareholder is the Macquarie Group, remained unchanged yesterday at $3.46.